السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على الحبيب المصطفى سيدنا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, today we will touch point inshallah in one of the concepts and words that's flying everywhere on the TV, in the papers, everywhere: freedom. Freedom. Everywhere you see this one. What is Islamic position into this one? What is freedom for me as a Muslim? What Islam allow me to do and not allow me to do? And is that within freedom, or I'm not free at all as a Muslim? Because I've heard it many, many times. A lot of people who are non-Muslims telling me, you're not free. We can go here, we can go there, we can be drunk, we can do that. You can't. As if I'm restricted, less free. And we have to discuss this just to tell you and have that point. What should I say as a Muslim? And what is freedom? First of all, we have to agree on something. We, free on earth, slaves to Allah. نحن عبادا لله أحرارا في الأرض. That's the main point in Islam. Umar رضي الله عنه, in one of the incidents, and you probably know the story, when his son, Amr ibn al-As, who is the governor of Egypt during that time, while Umar ibn Khattab was the Khalifa. Amr ibn al-As, who is the governor of Egypt, his son was racing with someone else, an Egyptian person. And that Egyptian wasn't Muslim even. And that Egyptian managed to win the race. And Amr ibn al-As' son hit him. And he traveled all the way from Egypt to Umar ibn al-Khattab, complaining, because the one who hit him is the son of the governor. He's not going to be able to get to him. And Umar ibn al-Khattab called Amr ibn al-As, ordered him and his son to come to Mecca. And he told his very famous word, مَتَ اسْتَعْبَدْتُمُ النَّاسِ وَقَدْ خَلَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْرَارًا. When have you made the people your slaves? And Allah created them free. So we are free by creation. That's the point. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has a hadith mentioned in Ihya Ulum al-Din al-Imam al-Ghazali. To people who are slave masters, what Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام was telling them, Allah جعلهم عبيدا لكم. يعني those people was made slaves to you. ولو شاء لملككم إياهم. That means Allah سبحانه وتعالى, you are the master, but circumstances could be different, and you could be the slave, and that slave could be the master. His point is, he wasn't born slave. It's just the circumstances happen that he is in this position. Okay? We, as a Muslim, free. And I'll make it very structured. What does it, freedom means in three main sections. حرية الاعتقاد, which is the freedom of belief. وحرية الفكر, which is the freedom or intellectual freedom. And the third one, which is personal freedom. The first one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it two times, even in one ayah revealed in Mecca and one ayah revealed in Medina. The one in Mecca is Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, أَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Are you going to force the people to be believers? That's during Mecca time. And in Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. This ayah in Medina was revealed for a reason. Before Islam, people in Medina, they've been two parts. Either those people who don't believe in any religion, worshipping some idols, or people who are actually living mostly in the north, tribes who are Jews. Different tribes who were living in the north of Medina. And those people were not originally Arabs, but came into Medina. But people know that those people, Jews, who are Ahlul Kitab, people of the book. And some people, during that time, before Islam, they have promised. People who were waiting for a son for a long time. He has many, many daughters and then a son. Or people who doesn't have children at all, and then he has a daughter or a son. They always promise, if I have that son or a daughter, I'll make him one of the people of the book. So they became Jewish. They are not originally Jewish, but that's what happened. When Islam came, and the parents were Muslims, they were trying to pull their children, sons and daughters, back to Islam. Because they told them, we made you this one, we will let you to be this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي. To believe is something that you are free to believe, but you have to take the responsibility of what you are believing. You have to take the response. You have to know the consequences of what you are believing. So it's not forcing you to believe. But in the same time, whatever you believe, you have to be honest when you believe. The difference between a kafir, who's an unbeliever, and a munafiq, who's a hypocrite. The first one, ظاهره وباطنه واحد. That means what he said and what he believed is the same. The second one is different, is worse. Because what he's doing is different from what he believes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised those people, hypocrite, المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار. They are in the lowest level in Jahannam, وليعوذ بالله. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the behavior of these people in Surah Al Imran. آمنوا بالذي أنزل على الذين آمنوا وكفروا آخرة. So that means during the daytime, believe in them. But night time, get back. Because we don't believe in this. And that's a hypocrite. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed for us that you have the right to believe what you believe, but you have to know the consequences of what you are believing. You probably will say, but wait a minute, there is an ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah As-Sayf, which is about fighting non-Muslims. And I mentioned that many times before, and I repeat what I've mentioned. This ayah was mentioned for the people in Mecca. During that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, any non-Muslim should not live in Mecca. Either Muslims, non-Muslims should get out of Mecca. Either to be a Muslim or not. That's in Mecca. Only. And the ulama many times explained this one. Don't take the ayah and apply it whatever you can. And then we have to fight all the way through. No. And if you look at the history in Muslims, Islam spread out. Because people just look at how Muslims behave. Just that's all. And they have been invited and get into Islam, tawa'iyah, because they love this one. They want to be Muslims. And this is the main point. The second one, hurriyat al-fikr, intellectual freedom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many ayah, in Quran, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقِ قُلْ انْظُرُوا مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Many times, Allah invited us to do this. Now, when you do this, what will happen? Are we expecting all of us will have the same conclusion? Definitely not. Our capabilities, our skills, our knowledge, background is always the same, is always different. And that means you will come to a conclusion different than me, and someone else is going to come to a conclusion different. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let us do that. And allow us to do that. Because this is part of your freedom. And this has created a lot of differences, which I've previously mentioned. That's a normal thing to be that different. And the word difference, and we have to differentiate between two things. اختلاف التضاد واختلاف التنوع. That means differences as in opposite, and differences as in variances. So we have to know that to be a variant or to be different is not a bad thing. Within the same, as we mentioned before, within the work frame of what's allowed as a Muslim, then that's fine. And this type of intellectual freedom, all the way through in Muslim's life, has been very well known. Very, very well known. And if you look at the history of Muslims and how they have developed through in Muslims' heritage, subhanAllah, that's because Islam allowed them to be different. And if you look, for example, you probably know Al-Khwarizmi, who is one of the scientists in Muslims. And the word algorithm is actually the name of Al-Khwarizmi. That's where it comes from. This guy, he was the one who established a lot in mathematics. Who is he? Has he graduated from Harvard Mathematics School or something like that? He was a scholar. He was just a faqih. That's all. He wasn't specialized in ilm al-mirath, which is inheritance law in Islam, which is one of the laws which is very, very detailed in Quran. Inheritance law in Islam is very clear. It is half or quarter and so on. And that drives him, because he understands this, drives him to create the equations and how to sort out these equations, three variables and four variables and so on, how to sort it out. Because that's the reality in life. And that's what make him that famous Al-Khwarizmi in mathematics. Now, nobody told him that you have to be a scholar, stick to that one, don't get to mathematics. No. There is a lot of these examples in Muslims' life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقِ. We have been ordered to use our minds. And as you know, Quran came to us بالنقل. بالنقل, that means people during Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام has been known and learned Quran through Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. And they had been teaching the other generation and so on and so on. Up to it came to us. And that's called النقل. So that means it has been transferred one generation to the others. And that's why, that's the way that how we do what we call tajweed, how we read tajweed. And if you know, when you look at the Quran, you will find that you probably pronounce it a bit different than what was written in the Quran. Yes, there are rules to this. Even that one goes through a lot of logic rules. And whoever actually won't be interested to go through this one, you will find that ulama has done a lot of researches to come to a lot of different rules. They did not say, yeah, he said that and we have to follow. They said, yes, he said that, we have to follow, but we have to know the logic. We have to know why. It's not following like this. لا تكونوا إماعة. This is one of the hadith. لا تكونوا إماعة. يعني just don't follow the others because they do this. Because the others are doing this, then I have to do it the same. No. You have to have your own character, your own personality. What do you believe? And this is very important for you as a Muslim, to build that character, to be that recognized as a Muslim. Not to be different, but just to show that what is a Muslim character should behave. The way you think, the way you believe. And this is something for us as a Muslim we have to highlight. Because that gives us respect from the others. And this is something important to show the people how we believe in this intellectual freedom as a Muslim. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى. اليمين والشمال مضلة، والطريق الوسطى هي الجادة، عليها ذات الكتاب ومنبر السنة. هلك من ادعى وخاب من افترى، وهلك أعداؤنا وأعداء الله. The third type of freedom, which is the personal freedom, and that's where we have a lot interaction with the Western way of mindset. And I need here to highlight a lot of things, which is the personal freedom. Because a lot of here, as I'm sure you've heard about this, I do what I want to do as long as I don't harm you. Theoretically, you don't harm me. Practically, you do. How is that? First of all, your personal freedom in Islam has to come under a very important rule. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Meaning that I don't harm myself and I don't harm anybody else. First one. Second one, your freedom has boundaries. The boundary of your freedom stops when someone else's freedom started. And that's where the boundary is. So my boundary within an area where if I'm going to exceed that boundary, is going to affect, I'm going to get into someone else's freedom area, then that's my boundary. I have to stop here. Okay? So this is it. Now, let's understand the ayah related to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you know, drinking liquors was not forbidden once. No, in three stages. Allah make them in three stages. The first stage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just told the people, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى في سورة النساء. That means, just don't go to pray while you are drunk. It doesn't say that, don't drink. Now that was the first stage. Then the people came in and asked Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, سورة البقرة, يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر. قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس وإثمهما أكبر من نفعهما. They came in to ask Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, because they could see, they could feel there is a harm was going on. And just to know something, liquors was in every Muslim's house during that time, because it wasn't forbidden. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah said, إِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. He did not say forbidden. He said just the benefits you will get exceeds the harm that you will get. Subhanallah. We've been told that 1400 years ago. The Guardian has an article which was replicated in some times a year ago, and I still have the copy. The UK government collects £6 billion taxes of liquors. The damage is £20 billion. Deficit is £14 billion. إِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. Why am I saying this? Because people said, I am drunk in my house. I'm not harming anybody. Then I'm free. No. Don't look at your personal freedom now is going to have that impact on the whole society. Not on you personally. The whole society you are damaging. And that's why it's forbidden. And that's the point. Because your freedom, as I said, has a boundary. Stops when someone else, his boundary and freedom started. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, إِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. The damage far exceeds this benefit that you're going to get. And we have to understand this very well. And that's what personal. So I'm personally free within what's allowed me. لَا ضَرَرْ وَلَا ضَرَرْ. And this is something very important for us as a Muslim to understand. That's my personal freedom. Now, also, so we understand that I have a freedom, but I have to respect the others. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in this, the example related to drinking liquors. Just to complete the story, liquors has been forbidden. The third stage in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-Khamr wal-Maysir, رِجِسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. تَنِبُوهُ, that means don't get even near to it. So it's, this is al-ijtinab is more restricted than, to put it, forbidden. Okay? And since that time, It was totally forbidden. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even understand, don't put the point up front, just take it in stages. Personal freedom has been known in Islam very well. And even those people who were non-Muslims during Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam came to argue him more than many times. Even when Islam, after Islam, has become very strong, they still came in and argue and ask. But still Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam was answering. Because they still have the right to believe what they want to believe. But just they have to understand the impact of what are the consequences of what they believe. I just want to tell you a story that happens during Umar radiallahu anhu. Because in Islam, the governor has the right to limit someone's freedom if there is an impact on the society. There was a man, it's called Nasr ibn Hajjaj, living during during Khalifa Umar radiallahu anhu. This man, he was a good person, he's a good Muslim, nothing wrong with him. But subhanallah, can you move a step forward, because just to give some space in the back. But this person, subhanallah, Allah give him some attraction to women. كان فتنة للناس. Woman has been very much fond of this person. His name is Nasr ibn Hajjaj. Umar started to get worried about this. So he investigated the situation and he invited him, he called him. And he told him there's nothing wrong with him. He thought that he has done something wrong. He hasn't. But he told him, you have to leave Medina. So what is my what I've done wrong? He said, nothing. You haven't done anything. But what he has done, he sent him somewhere else, another city, but he gave him a land and a house and money enough to compensate him, because he ordered him to leave. This is a restriction to that personal freedom. However, Umar knows that he's protecting the society, and that's the point. The freedom is not only, don't look at it, it's only me and not anybody else. No, it's you and the society and the people around you. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, in his hadith, he said, ma zala Jibril yusini bil jar hatta dhanantu annu sayawrithni. That means he is always recommend me and remind me, your neighborhood, your next neighborhood, you have to treat him nicely, you have to treat him this. He said, I thought that he's going to inherit me, inheritance. He's not. But why is this? Because it's not you, your freedom. It's also the people around you. You have to respect. Another hadith, لا يؤمن من لا يأمن جاره بوائقة. جاره بوائقة, that means you have to respect that neighborhood. البوائق, that means your bad behavior. Anything bad. Unless you stop it, because respecting your neighborhood, whether he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim, because he has his own freedom. And you have limits in your freedom. And this is something important that we have to understand. Also something else, which is related to our society. People who are spreading out the bad habit. Any bad habit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Quran in Surah An-Nur explicitly, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةَ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Those people who are spreading al-fahisha. Al-fahisha is a generic word for everything bad. Everything. To call the people for adultery, to call the people for to drink, and anything bad. Anyone who is spreading out this bad behavior, and like he is proud to do these things. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةِ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They will be tortured in life and in day of judgment. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And that is something very important for you. This is something to tell us what to do as a Muslim. If I see something bad, first of all, I don't spread it out. That's point. Because even talk about it is another sin. الله سبحانه وتعالى إن سورة الفرقان يضاعف لهم العذاب. يعني that means they are double in their torture. Why? Because they have done a sin, that's one. And they spread out this action, that's two. So spreading out the bad action is another sin. And it has an additional punishment for it. And that's why if you have done something wrong, first of all, don't tell anyone about it. And ask Allah for forgiveness. And if you heard something bad, don't spread it out. Just keep it for yourself. Don't spread it out. إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Brothers and sisters, throughout our khutbah, we have to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this freedom. But we have the golden rule. The golden rule is that we are free on earth, slaves to Allah. And the best thing that we can describe you as a human being is a slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the beginning of Surah Al-Isra, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. He describes Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام عبد. أن تكون عبدا لله, for you to be a pure and a really a good slave to Allah is great. And it's not going to be easy. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. So that's the best thing to do. So being a slave to Allah doesn't mean you're not free. Being a slave to Allah is the best thing. And try to be that good slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our duty in this society is to spread this and explain to people what is the personal freedom as a Muslim. What is my boundary? It's not a restriction that I'm not drinking. It's not a restriction that I don't commit adultery or anything. It's not a restriction. It's respecting to that society. Respecting to this. And they have to know personal freedom under the rule of لا ضرر ولا ضرار. I don't harm myself and I don't harm the society and the people around me. And that's the main point for a Muslim. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. Brothers and sisters, at the end of this, we have an important announcement. And that's why I need to tell it to you. Inshallah, next Sunday, 10th of June, everybody is invited in Western Zenix, inshallah, because we have the agreement now regarding the mosque, inshallah, building the mosque in Royal Holloway. And we have to get all of you into that room, because we have to come with the society and people who agree, because at the moment the Royal Holloway see probably 3-4 people. They haven't seen the others. They don't know how many people are there. And everybody has to be a member in this community. So even if you are not a member on that day, inshallah, 10th of June, Sunday at 6:30 in Western Zenix, where we pray Jum'ah, inshallah, everybody has to come, because everybody has to be a member, inshallah, paying him membership, and he will get a copy, inshallah, of the agreement, because the agreement now is in the last. We have to sign it, and now we have to have presentation, like a legal presentation, to that community, who are going to present in front of the college to start this process. It took us a very long time, but now we have to start. So please, 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 if you are really committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want to push this forward, just do a little thing, attend, inshallah, on Sunday, 10th of June at 6:30 PM in Western Zenix. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. ربنا عليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا وإليك المصير. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا, ولا تحرمنا حسن النظر إلى وجهك الكريم. ربنا عليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا وإليك المصير. اللهم إني أستغفرك ذنبي, لا إله إلا أنت, سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما, وتفرقنا تفرقا معصوما, ولا تجعل فينا ضالا ولا محروما. ربنا عليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا وإليك المصير. اللهم وفق أولادنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم يسر عليهم دينهم يا أكرم الأكرمين، اللهم يسر عليهم دينهم يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم يسر على أولادنا القرآن فهما وعلما وقراءة يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارزق بناتنا وزوجاتنا بالحجاب والسترة يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم ارحمهم وأنت أرحم الراحمين يا رب العالمين. اللهم آخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، وأقم الصلاة.